This is Sid Roth saying, I have a vision. Now is the set time to blow the trumpet in Zion.
Blow a trumpet in Zion, sound it on the mountains. Blow a trumpet in Zion, for the day of the Lord is come.
Shalom, Mishpucha. Shalom, family. Mishpucha, it's a Hebrew word. It means family. And we're the Mishpucha, the family with a Jewish heart, made up of Jewish and non-Jewish people that are one new man in Messiah Yeshua, Messiah Jesus. Getting ready, Mishpucha, to blow the grandest shofar, or the grandest trumpet in Zion. We want everyone everywhere to hear the good news. We want everyone everywhere to be red hot for the Messiah. The person that perhaps you may be hearing in the background is Kevin Turner. He's weeping. He's president of Strategic World Impact. He works primarily in war zones, disaster areas, or with Christians that are being persecuted. I caught up with him at his base just outside of Sudan, Africa. And Kevin has his family there. Their lives have been threatened. On yesterday's broadcast, he began weeping over how the brokenness that he experiences when he looks at what Jesus did for him. It's not just cliches. It's not just sound good type words. It's genuine. And I have to tell you, he has been challenging us, me, he's been challenging us to the core of what is really important in life. Most people that see the events going on around the world right now recognize we're in the last of the last days. But whether we are or not, you don't know when your end will come. Don't you want your life to count for eternity? Don't you feel there's something more than what we have evolved into called 21st century seeker-sensitive American Christianity? Kevin, if you would continue teaching the way you did on yesterday's broadcast.
Well, and I'm honored, by the way. I'm honored to be on your program, and I thank you for the freedom that you've given me to share my heart as you were opening up. In fact, I had to blow my nose. I've been crying my eyes out. I lament not simply what I see in the church in America, but so often what I see in my own heart. And I remember one time I was preaching at a church in America, and I was just pouring out my heart and you know, begging the Spirit of God to touch the bride and bring her to repentance. And so silently, the Lord just whispered to me, and he said this. He said, Kevin, you want me to bless your message so you can hold sway over people. And I almost fell to my knees, because no one would know that but Jesus. And he instant revealed the thoughts and intents of my heart, and that, you know, externally we pray, oh God, save the nations, and oh God, build the church, and oh God, glorify yourself. Oh, but make sure I get used. And I meet people all the time who've come to the altar, and in brokenness and confession, they pray, God, use me. God, use me. And sometimes a year later or months later or several years later, I'll meet them. And many of these people come to me, and you know what they say?
What?
I feel so used. And you can hear in the tone of their voice, they don't like what's happened. And I said, you know what that means? That God did what he wanted to do. He just didn't do it in the way you expected it. And so often, even in our prayers of, God, use me, what we really mean is, God, I want to use you. I want to use you for my ministry. I want to use you to get a name. I want to use you to raise money. I want to use you to build a church. And then we've got it wrong. Because, and this is what I prayed. I said, God, if you can get glory by just casting my life down on the rocks, get your glory. And you know, I believe that theologically, that Jesus meant it when he said, come and die. And he said, come and die before he ever said, come and dine. And so many people are waiting to get in the chow line. But as William Penn, the founder of Philadelphia, a great Christian man, said, no cross, no crown. And what we want in America is we want to go straight to the upper room, but we forget about Calvary. And we've filled our churches with organizers instead of agonizers. And we've set up business plans instead of prayer meetings. And we said, and this is what God will do, and this is how he will do it. And I believe one of the greatest things that could ever happen in America and in other Western countries is that the groups of pastors who run the churches would come together in a national confession of pride, of just absolute worldliness, and rend their hearts and not their garments. Because I believe this, that judgment begins in the house of God, and it starts with the spiritual leaders and authorities.
Kevin, I believe prophetically that this year, many that are in frontline ministry that are living a lie, if they haven't repented of their sin and gotten right with God, will be exposed. And even that is God's mercy, so they won't end up burning in hell.
I believe that that's absolutely correct. And I believe also that God loves America so much that he's willing to let her be utterly wiped off the map that he might get his glory. He loves America so much that he's willing to allow every one of our church houses to be burnt to cinder that he might absolutely get a hold of our hearts. You see, what I've realized in ministry is this. God's not concerned about my happiness. He's concerned about my holiness. And I know I said it before, but I'll say it again. There's an old Puritan proverb that says, either the love of God will draw you to his breast, or the wrath of God will drive you there.
Kevin, people have been listening to us all this week, and they've been soul searching. They've been praying. They've been thinking, what am I doing with my life? Oh, God, I want to die to self. I want you to use me. I don't know if I can do it in the flesh, but I want to. Would you pray for someone whose heart is saying that right now?
I would be honored. Lord Jesus, I pray right now you'd rend the heavens. And with the finger of your Holy Spirit, you would touch our hearts, and that you'd start with me, that you'd convict me of my worldliness, convict me of my pride, convict me, Lord God, of seeking position, fame, or power, and break me, Father. Lord, I pray that a divine revelation of the majesty of your Son, Jesus Christ, would be stamped upon our hearts, that you would stamp eternity on our eyeballs, and we'd no longer live for ourselves, but unto him who loved us and died for us. Holy Spirit, come now and breathe upon us. Lord, breathe into us fresh life, a renewal, a rebirth. Lord God Almighty, that you might get your glory. We lay down our hopes, dreams, and ambitions at the altar. And Lord God, at the foot of the cross, we cry out, touch us, Lord God, lest we perish. And oh God, as the old hymn says, do not pass us by. In the matchless name of Christ, our King. Amen.
Amen. Wait, would you also pray for a supernatural burden for the lost?
Lord Jesus, I pray right now that the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit, would come now, consume our hearts, that we would remember the pit from which we had been lifted from. Lord, that we would remember the rock upon which we stand. And Father God, you would cause us to stretch out our hand into the sea of despair and pluck those out, Lord God. Give us a burden for souls. Give us a passion for your kingdom, that Christ might be glorified. And may the Lamb that was slain receive the rewards of his suffering. In Jesus' name, hallelujah.
Kevin, we've been making available a teaching that you did, that you felt God directed you to do. We call it Kevin's Teaching. Why do you believe God told you to teach this?
because the church has become infected with a false theology that says, I'm no longer expendable. I'm too important to God to be expendable. And I believe with all my heart that the more usable we are, the more expendable we'll become. And basically what I do through this teaching is debunk the popular myth of the best ministry is the long ministry. John Baptist had 30 years on the backside of the desert for a 3-year ministry. The Lamb of God himself had 3.5 years of public ministry. And I'm thinking to myself, Lord Jesus, make me a red-hot fire burning for you no matter how much time I have. And if we live our lives on the brink of eternity, then we'll have a broken spirit and a passion for souls that God intends for us.
Mishpocha, we're making Kevin's teaching available on an audio cassette for a donation of $10 or more. If you're lukewarm, you know someone lukewarm, get this to them. Make your life count. Kevin, your last thought.
I just pray that as the Moravians who had sold themselves into slavery, that we would say the same. May the Lamb of God that was slain receive the rewards of his suffering.
Mishpocha, this is the Shabbat broadcast. I want to pray for you. And this Shabbat, I want you to use this as a time of soul searching. Lord, make my life count. Show me myself. Show me my sins. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his countenance to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord grant you his shalom, his peace, in the name of the Sar Shalom, the Prince of Peace, Yeshua HaMashiach Tzikim, Jesus the Messiah, our righteousness.
Hallelujah.
Yivarechecha Adonai ve'yishmarecha Yo'er Adonai paneh elecha v'chonecha Yisa Adonai paneh elecha Ve'asem lecha shalom.
If you would like to receive a complimentary copy of our bi-monthly teaching newsletter, materials catalog, or information about becoming Mishpucha or Chalitzim, write to me, Sid Roth, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521, or call our order-only line, 1-800-548-1918. To place a credit card order, call anytime, 1-800-548-1918. For all other calls, the number is 912-265-2500. That's 912-265-2500. For a cassette tape of this week's broadcast, send a donation of $10 or more to Sid Roth, that's S-I-D-R-O-T-H, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521. To see our television show, It's Supernatural, and to listen to past radio programs, look us up on the web at www.sidroth.org. That's www.sidroth.org.